Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 27:1. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41:10. Psalm 139:17-18. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. Psalm 139:17-18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I were to count them, they would be more in number than the sand. Psalm 139:17-18. Children, please stand for Bible class. I was very excited when I found out when I would be preaching. Thanksgiving, this being Thanksgiving week, starting Thanksgiving week. Thanksgiving happens to be my wife's favorite holiday. She always liked the family, the fellowship, the food. It was a big combination that ended up with a pretty great day for her usually. When we joined the Army and I dragged her 1,000 miles away from that fellowship and family, we would often invite the young soldiers who didn't have anywhere to be, we'd invite them over to our house. I remember our first Thanksgiving with my old barracks roommate, Jim. So Thanksgiving was always an important time, and I was a little bit worried when I decided on to talk about giving thanks that perhaps Pastor might be covering it, and I was happy to see that he wasn't. Because I found out on Wednesday it would have been really, really tough to scramble to change my message between now and then. So before we get into this, I wanted to tell a story about a particular Thanksgiving. This would be 2005, I was 19 years old. I had just graduated basic training earlier that year, finished my AIT, and I was in the midst of language school. I was being taught Persian Farsi for my not chosen language, but the one they chose for me. And that meant 7 hours a day sitting in a classroom hearing someone speak a language I didn't know. It was pretty difficult times. So, of course, I was looking forward to every holiday that would be coming up. And for Thanksgiving, we had a 4-day weekend. I was pretty stoked. I'd been dating Snow for a little while and had a plane ticket to take me home. Unfortunately, as things often, or as our plans often don't do, there was a slight hiccup. I'm going to tell the shortened version of this just for time. We had gotten in trouble, and when I say we, I mean the entire training battalion had gotten in trouble because all of the sergeant majors, all of the chief enlisted of all the different battalions of the group we would be going to decided to walk through our barracks one Friday afternoon. And it wasn't as clean as it probably should have been, but we were mostly 18, 19, 20-year-old guys that, you know, without real strict guidance tend to get into trouble. So the barracks was messy, and as punishment, because we don't really have rights in the military, as punishment, the unit decided to cancel everyone's 4-day weekend. Instead of going back home, instead of or whatever you have planned for Thanksgiving, everyone, not just the soldiers that lived in the barracks, but everyone who was in that battalion would be at the barracks cleaning it. And it wasn't to standard. It wasn't get, you know, once it's clean, y'all can go home. Every day, they would be there cleaning. Except for one hiccup. There was an E-7 who had already bought a flight, and he said, hey, if you take away my 4-day weekend, I'm calling my congressman. that caused them to backpedal a little bit, and they said, okay, if you already had a flight home, you get to keep your Thanksgiving pass. It was the E7 that caused the stink, and me and my roommate were the only ones that were able to take our Thanksgiving. So came home, did some stuff, which I'll get to later, and on the way back was terrible. So I had to be at class at 7 a.m. My flight got delayed. It landed at 4:30 in the morning. So I had class in 3 hours. I hadn't slept. I just wanted to get back. Going back to Bragg, I got a speeding ticket and a speed trap. It was my first one ever. And then after class, I was told, hey, be standing outside your room with water and your gear, you and your roommate, at 3 o'clock. Well, that's not normal. That doesn't sound fun. And it was decided while we were gone, while me and my roommate were one of the three who got to miss the punishment, that we would pay for it in our own way. It ended up being an eight-hour night from about 3 o'clock to midnight. So it's what's called smoking. They can't beat you anymore in the Army, so they have you physically hurt yourself in order to learn a lesson. Lots of push-ups, sit-ups. They had us drag our furniture in and out of our room so many times. We had X number of minutes to do it, and if we didn't do it in that time, we had to reload it and try again. And unsurprisingly, you don't get faster at something like that. The more tired you get, the more you slow down. So if you don't make it that first time, you're likely not going to. I tell this story to talk about my mindset at that time. I was miserable. They took us to the sand pit and had us roll around in the sand, which makes everything else you do throughout that day painful because you now have sand everywhere. They had us doing exercises, and we didn't have great drainage there at the barracks, so there was always a pretty consistent puddle of stagnant water that if someone wanted to put you in to make you do push-ups or flutter kicks, there was a convenient puddle right there, which led to me getting the flu that year. And so all of this to point out, you know, my mindset at the time. I was not in a great place. I was not in a place for any sort of giving thanks. I was pretty truly miserable with the way things had worked out. And that story is going to come back into play a little bit later. So my sermon is called Giving Thanks. The verse, Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks at all times for all things in the name of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, to the God and Father. So that first word there is eucharistantes, which is a conjugation of the word eucharistos, which means thankful and grateful. And that itself is a compound word. The first two letters that you see there, EU is an adverb, you, and it usually means well done or good. It's an adverb you use when you want to show that the word following something good with it. And charizomai is a word meaning to show favor or give freely. So those two words together, to show good favor, is what we get here for thankful, for giving thanks, to show good favor at all times, for all things, in the name of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, to the God and Father. So we're going to get into, in Leviticus, nope, that's my notes, not y'all's notes. Y'all's notes are here. Sorry, my notes have extra notes, so I don't want to confuse you guys. The offering of thanksgiving, which we see in Leviticus chapter 7, verses 11 through 15. These are the regulations for the fellowship offering anyone may present to the Lord. If they offer it as an expression of thankfulness, then along with this thanks offering, they are to offer thick loaves made without yeast and olive oil mixed in, thin loaves made without yeast and brushed with oil, and thick loaves of the finest flour well kneaded with oils mixed in. Along with their fellowship offering of thanksgiving, they are to present the offering with thick loaves of bread made with yeast. They are to bring one of each kind as an offering, a contribution to the Lord. It belongs to the priest who splashes the blood of the fellowship offering against the altar. The meat of their offering of thanksgiving must be eaten on the day it is offered. They must leave none of it till morning. So two interesting things here is that unlike most offerings in the Old Testament, most things in general in the Old Testament, this wasn't a commandment. This wasn't something that they had to do by a certain time. It was if they wanted to give this expression of thankfulness, here's what you do. And another interesting thing is that the meat was eaten. It was gifted to the thankful, and it had to be eaten that day, leaving none of it until morning. So if you look in your inserts, which I have mine around here, you'll see a good presentation into Thanksgiving, giving thanks. And it points out that Thanksgiving is it means to be great, to gratefully acknowledge the benefits and favors, especially if we're using the word in the relationship to God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a number of scriptures in there. This is a really good extra study that I urge you guys to look into. Separately, there's also a calendar there, if you haven't seen that lays out the days we'll be having service in December, as there's a few irregular dates in there. So urge you to take a look at the insert, not while I'm speaking, hopefully, but when you're at home in your leisure. So giving thanks. The Bible lists examples of when to be thankful. The first one, Ephesians 5:20, that's our verse from the day. It says, always giving thanks to the Father for everything in the name of our Lord. I don't see a caveat in there that says, unless you're really busy or unless there's too much going on and you can't take the time. I know it's really easy to have a lot on our plates. We live in a world today that operates at such a speed that it's often hard enough to gather our thoughts, let alone take time to keep the Lord in the loop on our thankfulness for the blessings. As I was reading online, someone likened it to keeping the radio on in the background. I don't know about you guys, but when I'm doing anything that requires focus, I like to have something that partially distracts me. I like to have a noise in the background that just fills that dead time that my brain isn't looking for a pattern. So it's something. So the way I take it here is always in the back of your mind when there's nothing you're really thinking on, be praying, be thankful. There are things all around us to be thankful for, things that we often miss. I was, I think I've talked about it before up here, driving down the road and glancing out my window and looking at the beauty that was passing me by at the speeds of 60 miles an hour. We don't have the opportunity anymore to sit and look around at what God's created. None of this is here by accident. All of it is here as a gift. And how often do we thank God for the little gifts around us? I was speaking, I've told you guys that there's one of the employees at work that I like to talk to. We like to have theological debates. He is still a very shaky believer. And has a lot of questions. We were talking about Paul's thorn in his side and that God's power is made perfect in our weakness. And he asked, well, isn't that kind of arrogant, to say that because we're weak, God gets better? And I had to explain, you're applying human characteristics, human expectations and perspective to a divine being, that everything that is here around us is only here because God wanted it to be. And so when I deal with people that aren't really steeped in faith, because it takes spiritual beings to understand spiritual things, I try to come at it through logic, and was just simply pointing out how illogical it would be if there was no divine creator, if this was here by accident, if it was through evolution, how astronomical the odds are that we would be here. And I brought up the Amazon rainforest. The Amazon rainforest produces 20% of the Earth's oxygen. It maintains 10% of the living creatures on Earth all reside in that land of the Amazon rainforest. The Amazon rainforest, plants, animals live and die. When they die, they provide nutrients to the rest of the plants so that the cycle can begin anew. But the Amazon rainforest is hurting for one nutrient, and that's phosphorus. But in 2015, NASA finally identified what was going on when they saw this thing in their satellites. Over the Sahara Desert, there would be this giant cloud, and the cloud would drift thousands of miles and land in the Amazon rainforest. And I was explaining this to him, trying to show him just how detailed everything is that works in concert. The Sahara Desert used to be a lake bed, and still today there are remains of the creatures that had died and are left there. God knows enough about all the goings-on of our life that consistently sand from the Sahara Desert is picked up and carried to the Amazon rainforest and deposits there. And the creatures that had died in that lake bed are still rich in phosphorus. God knew enough to pick up dirt from the Sahara, carry it thousands of miles away to replace enough of the phosphorus lost in the Amazon by its rains so that life can continue. That's how detailed all this is. That's how well thought out. No man on earth could ever design a system like the one we have. If there was more or less atmosphere, if we were closer or further to the sun, if our bodies are off by a chromosome. So, yeah, his power is made perfect in our weakness. Using that to point out to him that he is all powerful. He is the one behind this. So yes, we should praise our weakness and how it glorifies him. But it got me thinking about giving thanks as I had been preparing my sermon about how often are we thankful for the dirt that gets carried from the Sahara to the Amazon, where it helps produce 20% of the world's oxygen. Things we don't even know going on, things going on behind the scenes, God is constantly at work to make sure that our needs and desires are taken care of. So it says, pray continually. And since I've been working on this and it's forefront in my mind, I've purposely been trying to keep an eye out for something that is a blessing that I might not have seen as such before. Psalms, so this says, praying in public. Psalms 35:18 says, I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. And I want to stress, be careful on this one. Always watch your motives. You don't want to be like the Pharisees standing on the street corner, preaching where those can hear them. You aren't preaching so that people can see how good a Christian you are. You're preaching to praise God. You're doing it in a way that others can see you, and that can be a ministry. People see how you are taking the time to praise God for things that if we're missing it, they're missing it usually. So be careful when praying in public that your motives are pure, that you're doing it solely to benefit the Lord and doing nothing to take glory onto yourself. Daniel 6:10 lays out praying in private. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled three times. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. So even when you're alone, so this is following continually praying. When you're in public, pray. When you're in, or give thanks. When you're in private, give thanks. Take the time to notice the things that God does for you. All too often, as I'll get to here in a bit, we don't view blessings for what they are. We view them as things we expect for ourselves. John 6:11 says, pray before we eat. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. Pray and give thanks for the food. That food is a gift. That food was grown or raised using systems that are baffling. The fact that we breathe out what plants breathe in and plants breathe out what we breathe in, the fact that system was so well designed to be continuing after sin entered the picture. Of course, everything was perfect in the garden, but the system was so perfect that not even sin could disrupt it. So pray before you eat. There we go. Deuteronomy 8:10 says, pray after we eat. Deuteronomy 8:10, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. So you bless the food, thank God for the food before you eat it. Then when you're done, turn around and thank him again for how good that food was, for the continued provisions, the fact that he kept you alive while you were eating, you didn't choke. You should be thankful for that, for the many things that God gives us. Philippians 4:6, I'll be reading 4:6 and 7. This is for when we pray, be thankful. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Y'all have heard me up here a time or two. Y'all know that this is something that I continually struggle with, being anxious. I'm a worrier. One of the city managers says that I continually flog myself. If I've made a mistake, that mistake will stay with me. I will fret about that mistake for a long time. And this goes deep into my psyche. Snow, we were talking about a mistake I had made months ago. And she said, okay, you've accepted it. You've corrected it. Move on. But that's not how my brain works. My brain, I stay fretting, wringing my hands about the mistake that I had made. Even if I'm able to fix the situation, that weight stays with me. So this verse is supremely powerful. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understandings, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Important here is that it will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. It doesn't say you won't be hurt. It doesn't say there won't be bad effects. It says that your hearts and your mind will be guarded in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. We're getting close to this point, so I don't want to spoil it. 2, putting the blesser, that should be before the blessing. If you can turn with me to Luke 17. This is the story where Jesus heals 10 men with leprosy. It's Luke 17, verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border with Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he had saw that he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? So, take a moment and picture yourself as a leper. Now, when it says here, there's a footnote that says, we're saying the word leprosy here, but it was generally some sort of skin disease. Boils, lesions, open sores, weeping wounds. Society shunned these people. They wouldn't really have anything to do with them. That's why they're typically beggars. So you have these 10 people that cried after Jesus, please have pity on us and heal us. He says, go and show yourselves to the priest. And on their way, they were healed. There was no more pain. There was no more, you could just think of all the relief, no longer to be the bottom rung of society, no longer dying. And these 9 men rushed out to start living their lives, lives that had been denied them due to their affliction. But the one man turned around. So I hope I wouldn't be one of the nine men, but can you imagine having your life taken from you by a disease and then miraculously have it healed? Of course, human nature is to respond in pride and all the things I get to do now that I don't have this burden I was carrying, and immediately start off on that path to go and do the things in your human nature. This is a awesome example of keeping the focus on the blesser, because the blessing didn't come from nowhere. Those men didn't get healed by the priest or by any of their own act. They were healed by Jesus. But as soon as that healing took place, he was forgotten. The blesser was forgotten. How often do we receive a blessing and forget to turn to God and shout the thanks from the mountaintop? Things that just happen in our lives that we might chalk up to being coincidence, or oh, that was something that was coming to me anyway. That wasn't from God. No, we see here that everything is of God. And the one man that returned, the foreigner that returned to praise Jesus. Pride can blind us of blessings. Luke 12:16-20. And he told them a parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. There I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night of your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?'" So it's important here. I'm going to reread this verse again, but I'm going to stress one word. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be married.'" At no time did this man see this abundance of food, this abundance of harvest, as a blessing. He thought this was his due from his work that he did himself. And we see at the end of the verse that that's not the way any of this works. His life will be demanded from him, and then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Pride opposes the will of God. In James 4:6-10. "But he gives us more grace. This is why Scripture says, 'God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble.' Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up." So, I've always been a bit of a complainer. I was known for it in the Army. When people would call me on it, I would always point out two things. It's free and it's easy. I didn't like being cold. I didn't like being hot. I didn't like standing in the rain. I didn't like long drives to drive a vehicle that's going to sit in a motor pool for a long time. So frequently in my time in the military, I complained. And that complaining comes from a sense of pride. The idea that I deserve better than I'm currently going through. I deserve better than sitting in a hole in the ground when it's 10 degrees outside. I don't deserve that. No one deserves that. I know there's buildings miles away we can just walk to right now and be done with this. Why are we out here? Why am I in the rain guarding a building that I can't see because it's raining too hard? This doesn't make any sense. My pride colored everything because I thought, I deserve better than this. How many things in our lives do we receive from God that we think is due to us? How many of our blessings are paycheck? Well, yeah, I earned that paycheck, but who got you that job? Yeah, I'm sitting down to eat food I bought with my money. Well, who took care of that crop? Who gave you the money to buy that food? This is very eye-opening in the fact that we are owed nothing. We fail constantly, consistently. We fail God, and He sees it through His grace to provide for us and take care of us. The least we can do is be grateful, be thankful, turn to Him in praise. Pride opposes the will of God. Pride can often color our gratitude, as I was saying. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, Luke 18:11-12. Two men went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, the robbers, the evildoers, the adulterers, even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all that I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. It's all too easy to view life through that filter of pride. It's a lesson that I'm finally, slowly learning. Still, something will happen in my life, and my gut reaction is to apply this filter, this pride filter of, how does this affect me? And because I'm looking through this filter, I'm now looking for information that justifies what I already believe, that justifies my pride. And learning to take a step back and be, okay, well, that's God probably doesn't want me to look at this situation through sin, so let's take that pride out and see how things fall, see how things actually are. The Pharisee saying, thank God I'm not like these other people, these lesser people, the robbers, the evildoers, the adulterers, or even this tax collector. Pride is often, in my life especially, a huge stumbling block. Remaining thankful through difficulty. Being thankful in all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Doesn't say give praise, give rejoice, give thanks when things are going well, when we're in times of prosper. We're called not to be happy because of the suffering, but joyful in the fact that God is doing something in your life. We know that the effects of whatever it is we're going through, God will use to benefit the kingdom, and be grateful that you are a part of that, that you're being used, that He is benefiting you in the kingdom through whatever hardships. Rejoice always. Pray continually. That's one of the things we've been highlighting a lot today is throughout our day, don't get distracted by whatever's going on in our lives, because it's so easy to put the focus on the bright, flashy stuff right in front of us, deadlines, appointments, trials, windfalls. It's really easy in this world to be distracted from what we are called to do, from the blessings of God and giving Him thanks. I get frustrated if I let someone over and don't get a hand wave, and that took literally no effort for me other than no longer pushing the gas. God does everything for us, and how often are we there to thank Him for it? Remaining thankful through difficulty relies on being filled with the Holy Spirit. In the months past, I've covered being in and out of fellowship, grieving the Holy Spirit, restoration of fellowship, 1 John 1:9. It's required to be in the right mindset to be able to deal with these trials properly. Ephesians 5:18, pastor's been covering these verses. I'm really looking forward to him exegeting verse 20. Seeing as how that's my verse today, I'm really excited to see the wellspring of information he can take from it. But it says, be very careful then how you live, but not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understanding what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the heart. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So being wise, keeping the Lord's mind, or keeping His guidance and the Holy Spirit in our hearts, to be wise, not unwise, to make good choices, not be foolish, to understand the Lord's will, understand that His will might mean suffering for you for a time, but that greater days are coming. So being thankful in all things, going back to that story I was telling at the beginning, I was miserable. I had the flu. I had worked a 18-hour day, most of that hard physical labor because I bought a plane ticket. So looking back on it, in the time, I was not thankful. I was not in a place where I could praise God for what I was going to. But I should have. Because that Thanksgiving weekend that I was able to get home, one of the three people of our battalion that was able to get home, was a pretty big weekend in my life. Thanksgiving is Snow's favorite holiday. And so that was when I chose to ask her to marry me. It was actually the 24th, November 24th, back in 2005 that I asked her, and she said yes. So 14 years later, almost 14 years of marriage, at the time I didn't see that I had to go home to make that happen. All I could see in that moment was, why am I being punished? Well, everyone got punished. I got to miss mine. But even in that punishment, the Lord was blessing me without me knowing it. And that blessing was going to continue on for years and years and years. And it's situations like those that I try to, when I'm going through hardships presently, I try to remember the times, look back on the times that I thought my life was in the pits, that I was going through the worst I'll ever go through. And then look how it changed. Look how that situation would go on to benefit me somehow, or benefit some, or provide me with a lesson which I could pass off to someone else. None of this is random. It's all happening for a reason. And trusting in, being thankful in all things and trusting in the plan of God is key. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. It's really hard when going through difficulties to keep your mind on God. That's why it's important that when you start going through the difficulty, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you aren't, you realize it and you get there soon. Because human suffering, our sinful nature will put us in the poor, pitiful me mindset every time. And take us out of that trusting in God, trusting in his faith, the faith that he has, that he will take care of us. Went the wrong way. Show faith in the plan of God. So Job, we're all familiar with the story of Job. He lost pretty much everything a man can lose, minus his life. In Job 1:21, he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Man lost everything, all of his worldly goods, his family, and had the faith to say, may the name of the Lord be praised. I would be a wreck I would be a shell of what I am now until I could remember to get back in the spirit. But as I am an anxious individual, that this is my area of weakness. I hope to one day get to that level of instant praise, of things are going to be okay. I'm working on it. Have gratitudes for his gifts. God is the greatest giver. That's a hastily added 17, if you can't see there. I put 1-7, but it's 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. All good and perfect gifts come from God. All good gifts that you receive in your life come from the Father, and it's important to have gratitude for those gifts. The greatest gift, of course, is the sacrifice of his Son. John 3:16, we're all familiar with. Romans 8:31-32, what then shall we say in response to these things? For as God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? The Lord is in our corner. Everything here on this earth is temporary. It is fleeting. It will fall along the wayside when we start the next chapter. When we get called to heaven, none of the suffering here will be on our mind. And it is important to have that mindset when you're going through it. It is my prayer for y'all that when you deal with situations coming up in the week, that you're able to keep this in mind. Keep the will of God, the plan of God. Praise him for the things he does give you. Praise him for the trials for helping you grow. Because he should be thanked, and it is wonderful. Please bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, Lord. We come before you humbly, asking forgiveness for the times that we fail, that we might not turn to you, that it might take days or weeks before we realize that we're holding on to anger from something that will be used to benefit us. Lord, I ask you to put in the forefront of our minds when we deal with these situations that we should be thankful that even these are gifts to be enjoyed. Lord, we are weak and we are sinners. We thank you for the sacrifice of your Son to pay for our sins, to bring us into the fold, to give us the Holy Spirit and that peace that can dwell within us if we only listen. Please be with us throughout this week in all things. And in all these things, I ask in thy name. Amen.
Sing to Jesus, Lord of our shame. Sure.